This anointed teaching by Apostle Theo Vollmerens comes to you from Christian Family Church International.
Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. As I come to teach this morning the word of life, I thank you for anointing upon my mind that I might grasp revelation that will rise in abundance from my heart within. I thank you for supernatural recall of the scripture. And I believe that your word will flow from my mouth smoothly and accurately and clearly without hindrance from anything, carried by your anointing, your power, and your love to each person's mind under the sound of my voice, bringing understanding, removing all confusion, and that your word will enter every heart, bringing faith, dispelling all fear. And we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for all that's revealed and accomplished through your word and by your spirit here today. In Jesus' name, and all those who love the Lord said, amen. Please give somebody a high five before you sit down. Every once in a while, I like to pause and take a moment and refresh our faith. It's very important to have our faith refreshed. We can teach a whole lot of stuff about everything else, and that's all important. But faith is exceptionally important in our lives, right? Now, I'm going to share with you something I have been practicing for some years. Today, I encourage you to take out a pen, a piece of paper, or write in your Bible. And if you can't write in your Bible, throw it away, get a good one. Because you will need to know what you're going to hear today. As time goes on, you'll see that this will become a very, very valuable faith tool in your life. Amen? You ready? All right. The early part of 1978, that's going back 46 years ago, yeah, 1978, 46 years ago, I went to our church camp, and we took a week. We had a piece of land out in the country, and bungalows, and we went out there to seek the Lord and pray. And so I was outside in a hammock praying at night, looking at the stars. And as the week went by, I began to think about Pastor Bev. Now, I had met her a few times. I'd spoken to her no more than 20 minutes in total in my life. Okay? So you could hardly say that I know her, but I've met her. I can't say that. Nevertheless, I began to think a lot about her as the week went by. Every time I got quiet, I got to think about her. And I'd seen her last about a year ago at that point in time, because she went to Christ for Nations Bible School in Dallas, Texas. And she was dating a young pastor's son, good-looking young man, and I heard they were going to get married. That's the last I heard. So now, yeah, I'm thinking about her. I don't know whether she's married or not. I mean, look, a lot can happen in a year, right? So I made inquiries and found out, no, she's not married and she's not going out with that young man. And that if I need to meet her, I have to meet her mother first, Sheila. And if you've ever met Sheila, you'll know she's a businesswoman. No-nonsense woman, says it like it is, and she's very, very successful. Her and her husband, Pastor Bev's stepdad, Rob Palmer, they ran their own company in real estate, very successful commercial industrial property. Anyway, so I made an arrangement to go see her after the camp was over for dinner with her husband, Rob, first time I met them. And she says to me, well, what is the reason for our meeting? Because, you know, I arrived and introduced myself. And I said, well, a strange thing happened. And I told her, I said, the whole week I've been praying, seeking God, and in that time I've fallen in love with your daughter. And I don't even know her. And I said, quite honestly, I do understand something about woman because I was in the world before I was saved. And so I do know something about woman. This has never happened to me. It's a strange experience. And she said, and I said, now I believe God's telling me that we are supposed to get married. And this is the right way to do it, is come talk to you about this. See how you feel. And she said, well, now, I heard that she chased boyfriends away. And one boyfriend, she actually took him by the throat and said, if you ever come around my daughter again, you will be in trouble. She bashed his head against the wall. So I was ready for any emergency. And I sat on the other side of the table so I could get away. Anyhow, so then she kept quiet and she said to me after a while, she said, okay, fine. You believe God wants you to marry her? I said, yes. She said, okay, she's in Dallas right now. I have her number. Let's phone her and you tell her on the phone you want to marry her. Ask her to marry you. I was flabbergasted. So anyway, next minute she's phoning Bev on the phone. Now, when you know Sheila, she never, ever does stuff like that. Ever. So she gives me the phone. Bev's on the phone. So I said, hi, Bev. This is Theo. Do you remember me? She says, yeah, I remember you. So I said to her, I want to ask if you'd marry me. This happens to be a true story. I'm not just a preaching. So anyhow, there's silence on the phone. I thought she'd fainted or dropped her phone. And then she says, no, I don't want to marry you. I don't even know you. And I don't love you. So I said to her, okay, fine. When you come, will you have dinner with me when you get back? She said, okay. So we went to dinner, and I took her out a few times. And during those first few times I took her out, I said to her, look, I'm going to tell you I love you. Then I want you to tell me that you love me too. So she says, I'm not going to do any such thing. So I said, look, what harm can come? Just say you love me. I love you too. How can that hurt anybody? See, I understood the power of positive confession. She didn't understand that. When she went for Christ for Nations, they didn't teach you all that. So it took about 2 months to convince her to say that. In the meantime, now I'm selling houses for a living, right? And it's commission only, no basic salary. So I was very, very successful. In fact, I was the top salesman and 25 salesmen in all of 4 or 5 branches of Fodringhuizen News in Durban. And I told the company right up front, if I work for you, I'm not going to work Sundays, and I want to take off most Saturdays if the service's good. I'm not coming in. They said, okay. So anyway, now I'd sold all these houses, and it takes 4 months or so for the commission to come due. And so during those 3-4 months, I'm courting her. She razzle-dazzled me. And so I didn't work. You got it? I was captivated by her. Didn't work. I spent all my time on her trying to get her to say, I love you too. Anyhow, finally, she said, I love you too. And she said, I'm just saying it. I said, that's fine. Just keep saying it. 2 weeks later, no kidding, 2 weeks later, she was head over heels in love with me. Okay? And she still is today. Praise the Lord. Said this, the power of positive words. Amen. So, she agreed to get married, and we set a date for our engagement. And 14 days before the engagement dinner, we were scheduled to go to the jeweler store to choose a ring. And Rob and Sheila, her mother and her stepdad, were going to be in this very fancy jeweler store. was a friend of theirs who owned the store. And we were going to go there for her to choose this ring. So before picking up, I went to the office and get my money to pay for the ring, right, from my earnings. And when I got there, the lady said, sorry, you've used up all of your money. You got no money left in the kitty. I said, but I sold dozens of houses. Where's all that money? She said, you've used it up the last 4 months. You've just burned it up. You got nothing left. So I picked up Pastor Bear with no money, took her to the jeweler's store. It's also a true story. And so we got to the jeweler's store. She couldn't find anything she liked. The owner said, can your girlfriend, whatever, can she draw? I said, yes, she's very good. So she took a piece of paper and drew a ring. Then she showed it to me when she was done, and I took a gulp because it had too many bells and whistles on. I thought, that's going to cross the earth. But anyway, so he took the piece of paper. He said, okay, let me go and work this out. I'll tell you how much it costs. So he came back and he said, okay, fine. We can make this ring, and it's going to cost X, which was a lot of money. And I need you to pay cash for it the day you pick it up, 14 days' time, because it's a custom-made ring. So he said, can you do that? Now, they're all looking at me. Mother, Rob, wife-to-be. And she kept telling me, can you afford to marry me? You know, I mean, every time I say, tell me you love me, can you afford to marry me? Every time I say, of course I can. My Father meets all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You'll never lack a day in your life. I am rich. So she told her mom, listen, this guy's rolling in the dough. So now I'm standing there and he wants to know if I can pay cash for the ring. So I said, of course I can pay cash for the ring. 14 days' time, I'll pay cash for this ring. And when I said that, I began to perspire in this air-conditioned building. Perspiration running down my forehead, down my shirt. And I was stressed, to say the least, okay? Anyhow, and so I drove her home. And I said to her, that was Saturday, I said, look, I'm not going to see you Sunday. I've got other arrangements I have to attend to. I went to church, and that afternoon, I got before the Lord. That was my arrangement. And I said, now, Lord, I know the Bible says if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. And I haven't been working, and I repent right now. I should have been working. Please forgive me for that. So now that that's taken care of, I got something I want to talk about. And I took out a card. 5x3 card. And I wrote on the card on the one side my prayer request. My prayer request was to sell 2 houses on terms before Saturday. Okay? Now, why would that be necessary? Because if I sold a house the regular way, it would take about 3 to 4 months before I get my commission, and that's too long. But if I sold a house on terms, I get my commission the very next day. That's how it used to be here. I don't know if it's like that. We're talking about 1978, right? So, two houses on terms. The problem is that in 18 months that I've been selling houses, only one house has been sold that way. Because the buyer only has to have enough money to pay for the salesman's commission and the company agent's commission. No deposit is necessary for the buyer, for the seller. And no bond or mortgage is necessary. They actually just simply rent the house from the seller. The seller doesn't like that because most cases they want their money so they can buy another house. They don't really want to rent their house out for 5 years. At the end of that time, now the buyer has got to save the money for a deposit, and he might not be able to do that. And then when he applies for a loan from the bank, a mortgage, a bond, whatever, They might not give it to him. So it's a big risk factor for the seller, and 99% of the time, they don't want to sell their house that way. So, but I had to sell two houses on terms, otherwise I don't get my money right away. And they had to be decent-sized houses. So, I prayed. I said, Father, here's my prayer request. I'll ask you for the sale of two houses on terms. I wrote that in my card. Then I flipped the card over and wrote the other side. Mark 11:23. It's up on the screen. And I encourage you to do this. What I'm sharing with you now, these four steps I'm taking, I've used hundreds of times in my life, and they always work. And many others have learned this and worked for them. In 1972, I studied all Kenneth Hagin's tapes and books, and I learned how to pray by doing that. So I'm sharing something with you that works, okay? I used this many times, and in my books, I've got several different examples of using the same principles, and they always work. All right, so follow with me, Mark 11:23. For Jesus said, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says." Say this, I'll have, no, say this, whoever says, whatever he says, he'll have whatever he says, if he believes what he says, in his heart. Okay? So you can have doubt in your head, that's not going to stop your faith working. Jesus said you've got to believe it in the heart. So how do I know if I'm believing with the heart? By the words. For in the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So your words will say or explain or give you away. So if your words are positive in faith, you can have all the doubt in the head, doesn't matter. Listen to your words. That will tell you if you're in faith or not in faith. So believe in your words. Say that I must believe in my words for faith to work for me. Okay. Then go to the next verse, 24. Therefore I say to you, Jesus said, whatever things you ask when you pray. Now there's time in this verse. When is time? When you pray, the time you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Okay? So you've got to believe you get it when you pray. And if you believe you've got it after praying, you will get it. Now, it doesn't make sense. I understand that. Faith and sense are two different realms. It's not going to, there's no sense in this. All right. John 16:23, well, the other was the other scripture. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. So, I took those scriptures after writing them on the card. I knelt by the bed. And I took those scriptures and I read them over and over out aloud to myself for about 15 minutes. Just read it. And the more I read it, the more faith rose in my heart. The more faith rose in my heart. Until I reached a place where I knew if I'd ask now, I had the faith to receive the answer to my prayer. It's sort of like, you know, athletics at high school or primary school. If you ever did long jump, you know you can't jump far if you only run two paces. The longer you run, the better it is. So if you run 20, 30, 40 paces and you get to full maximum speed and you hit that plank, you can jump further. So that's how it is. The more you meditate on the scripture, the more faith comes. Romans 10:17. So faith rose in my heart and I prayed the prayer. I asked God for the sale of two houses on terms. Then I said, Father, the scripture says, when, Mark 11:24, when I pray, I must believe I receive it. So now I believe you've heard my prayer and I receive the two houses sold. Praise God, I've sold two houses on terms. So I got up off my knees and I walked away from the bed. And I turned and pointed back to the bed and I said, when I was kneeling down there, I received the sale of two houses on terms from God. That's when I sold two houses on terms. And I wrote the time down on the clock, on the card, 3 o'clock in the afternoon Sunday. I sold two houses on terms. That night, before I went to sleep, I held my card up, read the scriptures, and I said, Father, this afternoon, 3 o'clock, I sold 2 houses on terms. You gave it to me. I want to thank you for it. So I've sold 2 houses on terms. Not going to have. The next day, Monday, I went to the office, and I saw one of the salesmen standing at the door, a little Frenchman, smoking a pipe. And I had to confess it now, right? Jesus said, you have to say it, what you believe. So I said to him, called him by his name, and I said, praise God. I said, yesterday afternoon at 3 o'clock, I sold 2 houses on terms. He says, what? He says, I didn't see you. He says, you never come in on Sundays. I said, no, but I did. I sold 2 houses on terms anyway. So he says, when did you do that? I said, that doesn't matter. I just sold 2 houses on terms at 3 o'clock. So he says, well, okay, where are these houses? I never thought he'd ask me a question like that. What a dumb question. So I thought, well, I don't know where these houses are, do I? So I said to him, well, I don't know where these houses are. No, I didn't say that. I said, it's a secret. I'm not telling you. He said, well, you have to tell me because I don't want to take clients there. I'm wasting my time if I take clients to a place that is sold. And I thought to myself, he's right. But I'm not going to tell him. I said, well, that's fine. I understand that, but I'm not telling you. He says, well, I'm going to go and tell Ed Waller. Now, he's the director of the company. And I could see him in his office sitting there behind his desk, down this long passage. So he said, I'm going to go tell Ed Waller. I said, well, go tell him. So he goes in, I can see him talking, I can't hear what they say, and Ed's looking at me. So then he walks out the office and Ed calls me. So I walk in, now I'm 30 years old, right? I sit down, he says, Theo, sit down. Thank you, Ed. So I sit down. So he says, now, so I heard you sold 2 houses on terms yesterday afternoon at 3 o'clock. I said, that's right, Ed, that's right. He says, you weren't in the office. I said, I know, but I did, I sold them. Oh, he says, so, look, you're going to have to tell us where these houses are. I can't have all the salesmen going there. The houses are sold, right? You understand that? I said, now, I understand that, Ed, but with all respect, I'm not going to tell you where these houses are. So he says to me, Theo, is this real, or is this one of those faith things? One of them faith things, you know. So I said to him, Ed, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. I said, it's the same thing. Just the same thing. He says, I'll never understand it. You're dismissed. I said, thanks, Ed. I know you'll never understand it because it's not common sense. It's faith of the heart, right? Sense knowledge and faith knowledge is two different worlds. Anyway, I confessed it to everybody that I'd sold 2 houses on terms. And now I'm waiting for my first buyer to come and buy the house. And I'm watching. I'm very alert. So I'm taking out clients. Pastor Beth thought I'd left her. And I'm working day and night. And I'm taking clients out. And no one bought a house. Not any kind of house from me. I must have taken out more clients in those 10 days than I did in the last 18 months. But nevertheless, no one bought a house. So now it's Thursday afternoon. And I'm in the parking lot, just drove in. I took Arthur Snow out to show him some houses. He didn't have a job, and he said, can I help him get a job? And I spoke to Ed, and he said, if you train him, he can have a job. Yeah. So I'm training him, showing him what to do. So we drive back, park in the parking lot, and I'm just looking at the office there. And he says to me, sitting in my car, he says, do you have the money for the ring on Saturday, which is 2 days away? And just at that moment, the devil shot a giant arrow of doubt into my heart. Do I have the money? And I realized 10 days are gone. I got 1 day left, Friday. Saturday morning, I'm going to pay for the ring. And I haven't sold any houses. So, I said, I'm sure glad I'm not God. Because he has a real problem. I am not changing my confession of faith. I have sold two houses on terms. And when I said that, a flood of joy filled my heart. Now, this is long before all the joy revival. A flood, this is going back to 1978. A flood of joy filled my heart, and I began to laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. So much so that I slid back with my shoulders on the bottom of the seat where you're supposed to sit. Okay, my knees on the steering wheel. And I laughed like that for about 15 minutes, uncontrollably, tears pouring down my face. Totally lost it. I'm thinking, poor old God. He has a real problem. Because I'm not changing my confession of faith. I just thought that was so funny at the time. I don't know why. But anyhow, and then I remembered Arthur Snow's next to me. And it's been 15 minutes of laughing. So I tried to open my eyes, the tears everywhere, and to see where he was. And as I looked up, I saw his face. He was looking down at me. And the face, he was worried, stressed about his friend who'd lost it. And he thought, maybe he has to take me to a psychiatric hospital because I had a nervous breakdown or something. So when I saw this face of concern, then there was no helping me after that. I just lost it completely. But anyway, so now the next day, Friday morning, I'm sitting in the office. And the lady at the front, if somebody came, we've got all these little offices with no roof on it, only about 5 foot high walls around. All the salesmen are sitting in this big open area in their own little cubicles. And she would shout out if somebody comes to the front desk. And she'd say, there's a client here, whatever. She says, there's a man here who wants to buy a house and he's got no money. And then when she says that, everybody's very busy all of a sudden. They can't take him out. So I'm sitting there and the Holy Spirit says to me, now, if you want to sell a house on terms, would a person with money want to buy that or a person without money want to buy that? And I figured out, yes, this is my client. So I begin to scream, I'll take you out, I'll take you out. And I ran to him, threw my arms around him. I was so excited to see him. He was afraid of me when I did all that. Stepped back and I took him in my car and I was so excited. And he says, why are you so excited to see me? He says, I've been to 5 different companies down the street, real estate companies. And when I told him I've got no money, they said, we can't help you. And you want to help me, and you're excited. Why is that? I said, don't worry about it. We'll find you a house today. So I took him, showed him 3 houses. The third house I came to, it so happened to be the seller was sitting down in the living room. Now, that doesn't ever happen. They're always empty. But here's the seller morning, Friday morning, about 10 o'clock. And so we look at the house. We go back to the car. He says, I want to buy this house. I said, okay, fine, here's the contract. Now you're going to offer him full price. He says, no, I want to negotiate. I said, you cannot negotiate because you're going to rent this house. And I said, now, for 5 years, and he might want to sell it and make money and buy another house, that, and you're going to save your money for a deposit in 5 years' time. It's not a good deal for him. No negotiation. He said, okay. Pulled the contract in, took it down. Here's this man sitting, and the coffee table's in front of him. He's got this newspaper, he puts it down. So I stood next to him and I said, now, I have sold your house. The good news is I've sold it, and the good news is it's full price. But there's something you need to know. It's a terms deal. And this is what that means. He'll rent the house for 5 years, he'll save up a deposit, and then he'll apply for a mortgage or a loan or a bond, whatever you call it, at that time. I put the deal down. When I step back, he didn't say a word. He didn't look at me. He just looked at that contract. Between 5 and 7 minutes, he just stared at it. And I could see his brain working. He's probably getting his ducks in a row. How am I going to do this? And I guess he finally sorted out a plan. And he said, where do I sign? And he picked up the contract and signed it. So went upstairs and I said, now you got the check. You can make a check out for our commission and so on, right? He says, yes, I have. So I took the contract back, handed in with the check for the commission. I said to the lady at the front desk of the office, when can I pick up my money? I need cash tomorrow morning. She says, I'm taking it to the bank now and you'll get your cash in the morning. Just come pick it up. I said, thank you. That afternoon, Friday, I'm sitting in the office. She shouts out, yes, man, he wants to buy a house, he's got no money. I knew immediately the Holy Spirit didn't have to tell me. I ran out there, grabbed him, threw him in the car, and off we went. The third house, this man said, I want to buy that house. So happens the woman is sitting in the living room. A woman sitting in the living room. That never happens. Right there. I gave her the contract, all signed, full price. Told her the same thing as I told the previous guy. Again, it seemed like a movie replaying. She looked at that between 5 and 7 minutes, didn't say a word to me, didn't look up at me. And then she said, where do I sign? And she signed the contract. Went upstairs, put the man in the car, took him to office. He gave the check in for the commission. And I handed it in at 3 o'clock. And I said, can I get this cashed tomorrow morning for my commission? She said, yes, you can. The banks are still open. So the next morning, I went in there, picked up the cash. And I had enough money to pay for the ring, plus 20% tithe, because I knew, of course, tithe is a 10%, but I wanted to get God excited about this deal. So I said, I'm going to give him 20%. I knew that would make him very happy, and he'd be working with me, you know. So anyway, and then I had enough money over, I had 30 rand over to take her for a beautiful meal. Now, believe it or not, it's 30 rand in those days, like 2,000 rand today. So anyway, we went to the jeweler store, and she's on the way there. She says to me, do you have the money? I said, of course I have the money. What do you think? Of course I have the money. I told you. My God meets all my needs. You'll never lack a day in your life. Oh, great, great. Yeah, I've got cash. So anyway, went inside to pay for the ring, dropped her at the her house, and that night picked her up, took her for dinner, dropped her off after dinner, went to a beautiful hotel, beautiful restaurant, and driving home, after paying my 20% tithe, after paying for the ring and the dinner, and on the dashboard was a 5-cent piece, and that's all I had to my name. I looked at that 5-cent piece and I said, you idiot. Why do you ask God for 3 houses? Now all I've got is 5 cents left. Anyway, I survived. Still here to tell the story. Praise the Lord. So here are the 4 steps, right? Ready? In closing. Step 1. Write your prayer request on the card. Father, I ask you to give me the sale of 2 houses on terms. Then, on the other side of the card, you choose your scriptures and write them down. Because you got to keep looking at that, keep your faith up, okay, the whole way through. Then Step 3, you pray. Step 3, you pray and ask God for what you want, okay? And you believe you receive it. You believe you receive it when you pray. That's very important. And if you're asking for healing, then don't say, well, I believe I'm healed. I'm waiting for the manifestation. That's not faith. That's hope. You want to ask God for the manifestation, right? That's what you want to pray for. You believe you are healed and you're well. You confess, I'm healed, I've got it. Jesus born on the cross, I'm well. Amen? And you confess, I'm well. And you say, I resist the devil's pain and condition. It's not yours. Jesus took yours. I resist that. I'm not accepting it. I'm well. Jesus healed me on the cross. Now, whatever it might be, you confess you've got it. And you write the time down on the card. Then step number three. Step number four. You go tell somebody you've got it. Step number four, go tell somebody you've got it. And the time you received it. So you say, on that day, at that time, I received the following. I've got it. Praise God. Amen? And if you keep doing that and thanking God that you have it, it will come. It will come. Faith is the evidence of things you can't see. When you do that, God says, you've got it. God says you got it. Faith, as far as God's concerned, is your evidence. Now, that'll work for anybody and everybody. Amen? All right, family. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. How many would say, Apostle Theo, I need to be sure I'm going to heaven one day. I don't know where I'm going. Can you help me, please? Yes, I can. Yes, I can. God is ready to help you. If you want to know for sure you're going to heaven, when I count to three, if you'll slip your hand up, God will put in your heart the assurance that you will go to heaven. He has forgiven you and you are His child. If that's what you desire this morning, when I count to three, slip your hand up. Are you ready? And God will speak to you right in your seat. I'm counting. One, two, three. Thank you. I see those hands. Just keep those hands raised. Some workers are coming to put their hands on your shoulders to let you know we love you and Jesus loves you while I pray this little prayer. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. All right, everybody, please say this little prayer with me. Together, out aloud, everybody, especially those of you that have your hands raised. You ready? Let's pray from the heart now. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross in my place. You punished Jesus so I can be forgiven. Thank you, Lord. Please forgive me, Jesus. Come into my heart. Save my life. Thank you, Lord. I declare you are the Lord of my life. I will live for you with all my heart till I see you face to face in heaven. Praise God. I'm saved. I'm bound for heaven. I'm forgiven. I'm God's child. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us during this episode of Living Life with Dr. Theo and Bev Vollmerens. We hope that through this inspired teaching, you had an encounter with God. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Apostle Theo and Dr. Bev Vollmerens and would like to enjoy more resources, we hope you will visit our website at www.christianfamilychurch.co.za or for our American listeners, www.christianfamilychurchsa.com.